Music from Mike Doty. That's from the Circle Super Bon Bon album, which is a revisiting of some of his older soul coughing material, kind of new versions of those songs. I'm very happy that he's come back to those, because there was a time when he said he was done with all of that. So happy to hear those fresh versions. You're hearing them on Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO, where support comes from listeners like you and Clay and Stan. Clay and Stan is a full-service ad agency specializing in branding, design, advertising, and web for small business. More information is available at clayandstan.com or by calling 937-623-1824. Well, I'm Juliet Frumholt, and I am very, very happy to welcome our live guests into the studio. They popped up on my radar a little earlier this winter, and I'm really, really excited about their sound. We're going to share that with you, and then we're going to get to know them. So I'm going to hand things over to the WYSO Performance Studio for some live music from Ilya Goat and the Natural Horns. Goat and the Natural Horns live on Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. We're going to take a quick break and be back to chat with the band. You're listening to 91.3 WYSO.
Everything I do is going to be funky. In a world where music has no boundaries, one radio station, one DJ will risk everything to return Dayton back to the land of funk. Go behind the groove with your host,
Radio Basim.
Get behind the groove after Around the Fringe Friday nights on WISO.
This is Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WISO. I'm Juliette Fromhold, and a moment ago we heard live music from Ilya Goat and the Natural Horns. We've got the band in the house. Welcome, everybody.
Howdy.
Hello, thank you.
Hello, very happy to have you all in the studio. I want to start off talking a little bit about how you all got together and formed sort of this arrangement of guitar and horns. It's not the common thing that you see, especially with a folkier bent to it. How did all this get put together and conceived of?
Well, what year is it? 2014 now. A couple years ago, I was in the process of recording my first solo album, and I had an idea that it would be fun to have a lot of the tunes had kind of a country bent, and I had an idea it would be fun to put horns on some of them instead of the normal, like, fiddle or lap steel string band arrangement. So I wrote a couple of horn arrangements for some songs, and those arrangements were for tenor sax and trombone. And I had my sister, who's joining us this evening on euphonium, she was gracious enough to, like, audition some of the parts for me so I could hear how they sounded in real life. And we were playing with Eric Morel at the time, who's now with Bauku's Afrobeat band. But through trying out some of the arrangements, we had four or five tunes put together, and we took them out to a couple of open mics and things, and they were successful. And so we thought, that we should write some more tunes and round out a set worth of material and start playing. And we've gone through a variety of entertaining lineups. Liz has been with me since the very, very bare-bonest beginnings. Liz is my sister. And we've had a good time working on these projects together. And after a number of changes, especially in the saxophone, then clarinet, then saxophone again, chair, I met Jeff. I don't even remember where. Jeezel Pete's, maybe?
Yeah, probably.
There was a strong open mic scene for a while at a now defunct bar in Covington that had a lot of good jam sessions going, and I guess Jeff made his way down there, and I was down there via Ben Knight, the other band that I play with, and sat in on something. I remember you coming out of the bathroom on something, one of Annabelle's tunes. What was that? Smooth Operator.
There's
we've played in a variety of different groups together. One of them, this girl, classical guitarist, like a bossa nova player, Annabelle Arejola out of Cincinnati, was playing at that open mic, and Jeff was warming up his sax in the bathroom, which is the only out-of-the-way place in the club to blow on the sax and not be in the way. And he's like, oh, I know that song, and he starts working it out and figuring out what key it's in, then comes roaring out of the men's room with, like, the tenor sax ready to go right at the right spot in the song on this solo. Absolutely amazing.
And I'm a sax player. I have a tendency to get a bit excited. and as a sax player, I'm just happy to get asked to play. So I will literally play anything. And when Ilya mentioned this idea of playing these original, not country, weird, eclectic
some of them
songs
are country tunes. Yeah.
with a classical piece of brass, and I came from a Rolling Stone cover band, and now I play in a funk band, so I'm definitely not the nice smooth. It's much more, you can hear it, it's loud, but the juxtaposition of the two together is an interesting mix. It's an intriguing mix. I like listening to it hopefully as much as other people do.
As far as, you know, getting the players together, you know, Jeff, you've got a varied musical background, and Ilya and Liz, you've got the sibling thing going, which I fully believe is like makes a musical meeting of the minds that is very unique.
We've pretty much listened to most of the same records for the first like 14 years of our lives or so.
Does it how much of the arranging happens ahead of time of the parts, and how much of it is sort of in the moment as you're writing and working out parts for these songs as a group?
For for the most part, I brought tunes in, but there were some places, and especially the later song that we'll get to, which is a medley of a couple tunes, there's a couple of transitions in there that were kind of group figuring out in the group that I had at the time. And there's some places in the songs that are a little bit more open or stretched out, having space for solos or for, in some of the songs, I think a couple that we're not doing tonight, there's some space where the, you know, there's kind of a jam for a while until you get to the next bit. Things like that are more group things, but I guess I write most of the charts just because the songs are kind of a little odd with time changes or sort of things going on, and I wanted it to be a certain way.
Jeff and Liz, for you guys as horn players, what's it been like working in this genre or sort of creating a genre unto itself with Elia?
Well, I don't know. It's I usually play in a concert band and sometimes with two or three other baritone players, euphonium players, sometimes interchangeable terms, right next to me. And so I actually feel a lot more naked in this ensemble. I'm like, I'm the only one playing my instrument and I'm the only one playing this part. So I better get it right. But it's been really fun. It puts me in front of a crowd that I really like. I like it, like seeing, you know, you can't really see the crowd response when you're playing on a stage and you're in the back row. So it's pretty nice.
It's such a complete change of gears from playing in a horn section in a funk band, for example, where you're part of, you try to blend in, you try not to be heard. It's a perverse thing. You do all that work and practice so that you melt into the point where no one could hear you, you know? And it's there's no charts, there's no music. It's all just full on going. And to go from that to reading these quite intricate and really quite odd, eclectic, interesting parts, you know, and to be standing out, and you do feel quite conspicuous, like Liz said. It's a very different atmosphere. It's a lot of fun. It's equal amount of fun, just a different kind of fun.
I have a similar feeling about it. With being the only vocalist, but also being the entire rhythm section with the guitar playing, it's like, it's a strange shaped ensemble, and that was another piece of it that just made it be fun to me, that it's like unusual and kind of works for unexpected reasons.
How long did it take for this particular lineup to really feel comfortable, you know, with being a trio and being in sync with each other, given that you're all three saying, like, you feel really out there and in your respective parts?
We'll tell you when it happens.
Yeah, right.
We're always improving. It's always a moving and evolving journey. I feel comfortable playing with Ilya totally. Every other horn player I've worked with has been different in different ways.
And Jeff had worked with a different horn player besides Elizabeth, so they both, you know, knew the parts and were part of the trio, but were part of different trios, and it's been, since this past fall, probably, that this version has been together. So we had a good show on my birthday, October 16th, at the Crow's Nest in Cincinnati with a pickup rhythm section from Animal Mother, who's a phenomenal free jazz outfit out of Cincinnati. And that was, I think, probably the first show that I felt that we were really good together.
That's another great thing about this ensemble, is that you can throw in a rhythm section. If they're good, you don't even need a rehearsal. If you just throw them some charts, it's really nice to have a different kind of, you know, we've had a full drum set, we've had bongos, we've had djembe, we've had, stand-up bass, electric bass, everything that, I don't think we've ever had a keyboard player. That'd be kind of cool. But it's really sweet how we can just shape it however we want, or he could play solo. So it's really his project, and it's very malleable.
As far as the way that your songs sort of take on these different iterations based on, you know, who you're playing with at any given moment, how do you feel about that as a writer?
It is interesting. There's the band that I'm playing with now is more of a traditional, Ben Knight and the Well Diggers, it's more of a traditional classic country sort of sound. And so some of the songs that I'm writing for that adapt well to playing solo, or are songs that I play with the horns, and other ones, you know, don't work at all, and they end up being tunes that work for one thing or another. I have some piano tunes that don't work on guitar. It's kind of, you find things that are situational a little bit and they find their happy place. And when you're not there, you don't play those songs.
Fair enough, fair enough. Well, why don't we take a quick break and come back and hear some more live music? You're listening to Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WISO. We've got Ilya Goat and the Natural Horns in the house. Stick around. More songs and more with them coming up. This is WISO.
When one world's not enough, it's time to go around the fringe. It's Rev Cool, and I'm calling all you hip-shaking sisters and finger-popping daddies to join me for Around the Fringe, your Friday night dance party of the airwaves, right here on WYSO 91.3 FM and WYSO.org.
Around the Fringe, 8 to 10, Fridays on 91.3 WYSO.
We're back here on Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. I'm Juliette Frumholt, and we're going to hear some more live tunes from Ilya Goat and the Natural Horns.
That last song was called My Ohio that we did, and this song is called Strangers.
Frog is strange, he swims and he hops, he sleeps in a mud house, he catches his food and he sings all night. Da-da-da-da-da.
Ilya Goat and the Natural Horns live in the WISO studios. We're going to take another quick break, come back and chat some more. They've got an album, and I want to tell you about that and much, much more. This is Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. Stick around.
This is Ira Glass of This American Life.
Oh, my God.
One thing I really like in a radio story.
What's back there?
Nothing. It looks empty.
No, there's someone living back there.
Is a mystery.
I'm not going back there.
There's somebody's hair. There's a head in there.
There's a shrunken head right there.
Mysteries explained each week. This American Life.
It's Santa Claus.
Saturday at noon and Sunday afternoon at 4 on 91.3 WYSO.
You're listening to Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. I'm Juliet Frumholt, your host from now until 11 o'clock, and we are joined right now by Ilya Goat and the Natural Horns. They just played live for us. That was awesome, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, you have an album out called Eggcorns. Tell me about how you went into the studio with this one. Did it... It feels like with your sound, you would naturally want to go live to tape, and yet with the instrumentation, I could see where that would be very tricky. So tell me a little bit about the recording process.
You're exactly right. With the engineer's keen attention to detail, I went in, I found him on Craigslist, I think, if I recall correctly, but a guy named Joel Greenberg that actually went to my high school about 10 years before I was there. In Cincinnati, Sycamore High School, and he is a jazz guitar player and has a great, you know, careful ear. He likes acoustic sounds. He likes horns. He mostly works with, like, metal bands and stuff, so the opportunity for him to work on something eclectic and, like, intricate and having more open sort of sounds was fun for him. And so when I went in, I didn't know, this was my first, like, major recording project with professional quality gear, and I didn't really know very much what I was doing, and so it took me a long time to kind of figure out what I was doing. And so some of the songs, most of the songs were recorded live, the kernel of the songs, me playing guitar and with an upright bass player named Steve Whipple, who's a jazz guy. He was at CCM in Cincinnati while I was there briefly, and I stayed in contact with him and heard later on a couple years down the line that he was going to be home from New York City for a little while and was looking for sessions or anything. And I think he did it. I can't remember what the number was, but he did it for something very lowball for how skilled of a musician he was. And so the tracks, and Joel recorded everything so sensitively. So there's this great growly, like really tasty upright at the bottom of that. And I'm a bass player. And at the time I had been out hiking and riding freight trains and doing stupid things on the West Coast for a while, and so my bass chops were not up to scratch, and I had some, you know, called somebody else to do it and played the guitar. But the recording process kind of dragged along as I figured out what I was doing with each tune in terms of overdubs. I added a couple guitars, I played drums on a couple things, this and that. Mostly it's like a shaker or something. There's pretty minimal percussion on most of it. But by the time I was getting finished with the recording process, which lasted most of a year, the live band had started up. The horns had started playing, doing that open mic stuff that I was talking about before, and I had started to assemble a rhythm section. And we'd had a couple of gigs that were really, really good, and we were having regular practices and were quite tight as a band. And the sound that we were getting when we were playing live was the sound that I wanted. It was not like the sound, the studio kind of sound that I'd been meticulously crafting over all this time, and I was kind of like tired of the process probably by then. And so I said to Joel, is there any way... The other problem was that the record was only like 32 minutes long or something. I didn't have that much tunes, and there were a couple that I wanted to cut. And so I said to Joel, why don't we take the extra time that's on the CD and cut a live side and have it kind of be a double album? So we put together a house show at my friend Crystal Cruzy's house, and one song by her appears on the album. And at the time, she was living in this wonderful converted barn that is all wood and had brilliant acoustics in it. And so we set up in there. Joel had a control room that was a floor up and without a sight line somewhere else in the house. It was really funny. But there were maybe 12 or 20-something people there and a little crowd. And we had mics set up and played without any PA. And so by the end of it, my voice is pretty shredded, yelling over three horn players. But... that was more of the sound that I wanted, and we had a good time doing it, and I was happy to, you know, merge the two
Is that a hard balance to strike, that sort of meticulous studio process where you can really, you know, build something as intricate or not as you want, and that, you know, organic thing that happens when you're live?
Indeed. I've done a good bit more studio work since then with other groups I've been involved with, and by now know a little bit more about how to capture it, but at the time was trying to get the right sound and didn't know what the right sound was, and so was developing it as going along, and that just is ridiculous.
Got to learn in process.
Yeah, that is nothing but inexperience, and feel better about it now.
Now that you've got the album out and you've, you know, got your players and all of that, what's this year looking like for this project? Are you going to be, you know, focusing on the live show or writing more, or recording more, or is that yet to be determined? Going to kind of go with the flow?
Well, I hadn't really sprung it on these guys yet, but the country band Ben Knight and the Well Diggers that I'm in, we're going to be recording our second full length in the spring, and I was thinking to perhaps write a few horn charts for that project, and so that might involve these folks. It would be fun. It would be interesting to utilize y'all as a section in the way that the Phoenix Horns from Earth, Wind, and Fire or some of these horn sections got around as, you know, as a unit, the way that Bobby Keys and the trumpet player, I can't recall his name, but we're right. Working as a unit on Exile on Main Street and Sticky Fingers.
I think his name actually was, believe it or not, Jim Horn.
Jim Horn. There you go.
I believe it was, which is why I remember it.
Right.
Hey, for the second time tonight, I'm just happy to be asked to play. That sounds awesome.
And I have a nice batch of new tunes. A couple of them are ending up on that Ben Knight album, but some other ones I'm keeping back. And there's a chance of a follow-up album coming together this year. We'll see what happens.
Is that hard to, when you're playing in multiple projects, determine what song's going to go where and to whom and with whom?
They get tested out. It's kind of fun. With the horns, it's kind of more difficult to test it out because the horn part has to come from somewhere, and so it's harder to develop organically. But trying tunes out with the country band is pretty telling pretty quickly if they're going to work or not, and some of them are tunes that for one reason or another, for example, don't fit on that collection and so are available to me. There's a variety of things that I can do with material. I have a couple tunes that are more or less given away to other bands, and that's like not a bad thing, you know. They're all different.
Share and share alike.
One's happy to let one's children go out and thrive in the world wherever they're going to be happy, you know.
Exactly. We touched on it a little bit earlier in talking about your individual, you know, musical backgrounds a little bit and sort of projects that you've worked on. But as musicians, what are some of the artists that either have inspired you as musicians over the years, or maybe somebody that you're listening to now that just really inspires you as a player, whether it's related to what you're playing or not? Sometimes inspiration can come from, you know, the complete opposite of what you're playing.
Ladies. Well, Jeff's over here saying, ladies first. Thanks a lot, Jeff.
Who influences you as a euphonium player?
As a euphonium player? Okay, this guy named Gustav Holst, he's a really good composer. He writes awesome euphonium parts. I love it. That's my favorite composer to play. Personally, as a person, I like bands. I like Animal Collective. They inspire me creatively, but not in this particular band.
Fair enough. Jeff, what about you?
Wow. Obviously, there's all the jazz giants like Bird, Train, Rollins, et al. Lately, I've been, especially for the past year with the funk band, been diving into 70s funk players. Maceo is the main one, but you also have guys like Lenny Pickett from the Tower of Power. He was also that classic sound in the 70s, Saturday Night Live, screaming saxophone, that raging altissimo. So guys like him, Bob Mincer. Nowadays, you can hear that sound in a guy named Ron Holloway, who plays with the Warren Haynes Band and quite a lot up and down the East Coast. So, yeah, that kind of stuff.
And Elio, what about you?
I've always liked the Rolling Stones. My dad was a big Beatles fan, and I grew up like really hitting the Beatles hard. And when I heard like that Let It Bleed, Beggar's Banquet, Sticky Fingers, Exile quartet, that blew my mind of how like really interestingly you can turn the blues around and do creative things with it. And in terms of horn charts, the tenor sax trombone sound is Charles Mingus all over. Like, he didn't have trumpets in half of his horn sections. And I'm a baritone singer. I tune my guitar down, and I like that beefy low mid-range sort of tonality. And that's where a lot of that comes from. The record Blues and Roots and Oh Yeah with Roland Kirk and Jimmy Nepper providing the horn section.
Yay, Roland Kirk, a shout-out.
Yeah.
If people want to keep tabs on where you are live and get their hands on the album, what's the best way for them to do that?
There's, for getting the album, there's a Bandcamp page, iliagoat.bandcamp.com. That's E-L-I-A-G-O-A-T. And then there's a Facebook page that has live updates and such like.
Excellent.
Also iliagoat.
We'll get those linked up on our Facebook page. We are facebook.com/kaleidoscope radio. Navigate over there, and we'll have links to their Bandcamp and their Facebook page so you can connect and get your hands on all of this good stuff. You promised us a medley, and I'm very, very excited to hear that. Shall we take a quick break to grab instruments and take a listen to that one?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, we're going to have more live music coming up from Ilya Goat and the Natural Horns. This is Kaleidoscope on member-supported 91.3 WYSO, Yellow Springs, Dayton, Springfield. We're online at wyso.org. WYSO is a community service of Antioch College for the Miami Valley and beyond. Stick around. More live music coming up in just a second.
Hi, this is Shakin' Dave, host of Monday Night's Hall of Fame Blues program. You know, we're knocking on the door of three decades of blues right here on WYSO. We don't have to wait to celebrate. We want you to be a part of our blues anniversary as we spin sounds close to your soul. Keep your blues right where you can use them. Get your week off to an indigo sound start every Monday night, 8 to 11 p.m. with your host Shakin' Dave right here on WYSO.
We're back here on Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. I'm Juliet Frumholt, and we have Ilya Goat and the Natural Horns in the house. They are going to play some more live music for us.
Thank you. These are a few more tunes off of Acorns, and you were asking about development of group things before, and this is some stuff we came up with to jam some songs together in a live setting. So these are Thank You, Never Die, and Pacific Coast. Let's have a moment of intonation, Zen. That's fine.
Torn now.
naked skin and the warm sun. Blue sky, summer, fighting on the run. I had a swim and I drifted inward. Laid down hidden in the dune and felt good in the ocean and the sun. In the ocean, the ocean and your skin, and the ocean.
Ilya Goat and the Natural Horns live on Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WISO. Their album is called Eggcorns, and we've got a link up to their Bandcamp where you can get your hands on that, as well as their Facebook page where you can connect with them. All those links on Facebook.com/Kaleidoscope Radio. Guys, thank you so much for being here. It was such a pleasure.
Thanks for having us, Juliet.
Ilya Goat and the Natural Horns, all the links to connect with them on Facebook.com/Kaleidoscope Radio. Stick around. Lots more to come on WISO.
I was raised up believing I was somehow unique, like a snowflake, distinct among snowflakes, unique in each way you'd conceive. And now after some thinking, I'd say I'd rather be a functioning cog in some great machinery, serving something beyond me. But I don't.